Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Australian Ghost Whisperer with Katarina Legato and James Jennings.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Australian Ghost Whisperer. Hello, Katarina Legato. How's your week been?
Hello, James. My week's been good.
Excellent. Lovely to see you. And lovely to see a guest on this week's episode. We have Patrick, who has been a client of yours for a long time and has some wild stories to tell. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, James.
Thank you, Patrick, for coming on. Absolutely, Patrick's incredibly sensitive and... my gosh, we have some amazing experiences to talk about today with Patrick.
I can't wait to hear them.
Well, let's start with your latest trip to Vietnam.
Okay, not to be repeated.
We've
been there twice and I thought,
sorry,
on the way back,
and I'm going to try not to laugh, but guys, I've known Patrick so long.
I'll try and keep it serious.
Yeah, he's been through so much, this poor man.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Being sensitive is not a blessing, I can tell you that. All right. Do you want me to fire away?
Tell us about your trip.
All right. I have this bunch of guys that we go away on motorbike trips together. We've been to New Zealand. We've been to Vietnam before, that was 5 years ago. And we travel up and down through. And we've known each other for, like, such a long time. We used to play football together. Now we just basically catch up every week. We go to the pub, have a beer, then go to restaurants and just, you know, drink red wine and talk rubbish. And so... this one here, I organized the last one to New Zealand, which was in November 22, and that was brilliant. We had a great time. We rode around the east coast of the North Island, and one of the guys said, oh, I wouldn't mind going back to Vietnam. And I thought, yeah, okay. So the last time we went, it was the north part of Vietnam. We went to Da Nang and then basically out through the mountains and back to the coast, to a place called Dong Hoi, and then back down to Da Nang, and then caught a train to Hanoi. So we're away about 10 days. With this one, it was Saigon, or what is Ho Chi Minh City these days, Saigon for a few days, well, an overnighter, and then jumped on the motorbikes, picked up the motorbikes, and then rode up to a place called Da Lat, which is up in the mountains. And that's where the French basically established a town, because it was high in the mountains and it was cool away from the humidity of the coast. So there, and then from there to the coast, a place called Champa Resort, and then back down to Saigon. And one of the guys said, oh, look, I really like to go to this museum, which was the war museum that was set up by the Viet Cong, basically just, you know, showing all the stuff. So we went there, and outside they've got basically helicopters and tanks and artillery and stuff, mainly US Army stuff that had been captured. It was just sitting outside. And there was this, the main museum itself would be maybe three floors high, but off to the left, there was this area called the Tiger Cages. I thought, oh, I'll go and have a look at that. And the images in there and the actual, they had tiger cages that they used to put the prisoners in, and they were like no bigger than a blanket box and all barbed wire. And they would have the prisoners out there in the sun day and night.
Oh, my God.
I went, oh, that's terrible.
That's horrendous.
Horrific, yeah. And then inside there were photographs and then stories about different prisoners and what happened to them, and photographs of them, like being mutilated essentially. And that was when I thought, oh God, I don't feel good, something. And I've experienced this feeling before where my solar plexus just cramps, my lower back and sacrum just lock, and I can feel like my head feels like it's being crushed inwards.
And I guess you didn't think of using any projection.
Didn't even occur to me.
No.
And so we're there probably another hour or two. I went up and looked at, there were a lot of photographs of, just terrible photographs of people being dismembered and the stories and talking about the massacres. And it was pretty horrible, actually.
Yeah, you walked into an energetic pit of darkness and suffering and torture. Yeah, absolutely.
All of that, yes. All of that. So then we left there, and by this stage I was feeling pretty uncomfortable. And I thought, okay, I knew something had happened. And I thought, oh, let's just see if it wears off. No, it didn't. So then the next day we were due to go to Cambodia. So we were in a van that was with a driver to a place called Dao Chok. And from there, we catch a boat up to Phnom Penh, which is about a 6-hour trip. So we're in Phnom Penh, we check into our hotel, and we're there two nights, I think. Yeah. So the first day we're there, full day, one of the guys said, oh, I'd really like to go to the killing fields and the genocide museum. And I'm going, yeah, I don't really want to go, but I'll just tag along. So we get picked up in this bus, and the guy was telling us the story. He was a Buddhist, and he was basically telling how all his family had been killed, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently Pol Pot, there were 8 million people in Cambodia, 3 million were slaughtered. So more than a third of the population were slaughtered by this guy Pol Pot, who thought everyone was he was psychotic, obviously. So every third person in Cambodia had been slaughtered by this Pol Pot regime back in the, I think it was the late 70s. Anyway, we go to the killing fields, and they take you around, and it's all of these, basically, they look like craters where they'd buried like thousands of people. And from that areas, you could still see bits of fabric coming up through the soil when it rains, which were the clothes of the people who'd been slaughtered. From age naught to whatever.
Oh, how horrific. Yeah, I feel the energy as you're speaking about it.
Yeah. And so we walked around that, and then we went to this, it was kind of a mausoleum that inside there were all these skulls, which on different levels, all the way up, like 7-story. And this one was like, these ones were aged 1 to 9. The next one was like 10 to 20, all around this thing. It's like thousands of these skulls, like thousands.
Oh my gosh.
And then that was it. Like, that was probably. And then they said, oh, we're going to go to the Genocide Museum, which was right in the center of Phnom Penh. And like I was telling you, this thing with the tiger cages. Oh, sorry, no, that was Vietnam. The Genocide Museum was actually a school that had been converted to dungeons and torture chambers, and they had the photographs of the sort of things they would do to get people to talk. Mm. Obviously, most of them were innocent.
Patrick, but this kind of sounds like the worst holiday of all time so far.
It sounds like a nightmare, hey?
Well, funny, people had asked me, they said, oh, did you have a relaxing holiday?
No.
It was not relaxing.
Said, no. It was
about 40 degrees and 100% humidity. I said, every time you get on the road on your motorbike, you have got to be 110% focused, because you'll be riding along and coming towards you will be a bus on your side of the road tooting you to get out of the way. So you have to go off to the gutter. So you've got to be 100% there. And the roads, imagine Parramatta Road on steroids, times 10. It's just off the charts.
Oh my gosh.
Off the charts. Oh,
Patrick, how? What made you want to go on? What inspired you to go on a holiday?
Each of us plan our next trip. So I planned the New Zealand one. Oh. And this other guy, Chris, who likes Vietnam, he said, oh, I'll do Vietnam next time. And I'm going, well, yeah, okay. So you just go along. That's what one guy's organized. So where we go next time, I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, got back from there. I was pretty whacked, actually.
Well, you would have absorbed all that energy because as I know you're so sensitive from all our past shenanigans that
I know, we've
had together with you. You're always drawing in these energies.
Well, it had been so long since I'd had that kind of
thing. Well, we got you right because,
Patrick,
you had a series of healings and we got your energy stronger and taught you protection. But environments like that are just, you know, incredibly overwhelming, first of all, emotionally and psychologically, just looking at all that horrific skulls and little children. Like,
yeah, I know. It was
I would even find it difficult to be able to hold some sort of psychic protection over myself because you'd become so emotional.
Well, it's looking at all of that. It's very graphic.
Yeah, and especially with probably children.
The worst thing you'll ever see is these like skulls up.
Oh my lord! Yeah, of course.
So, Patrick, saying that you've always been quite sensitive, was there a period in your life where you started realizing that you could actually feel or see things that other people couldn't? Were you staying like in terms of people and spirits?
I remember. I bought this, when I was telling you before about, I bought this apartment in Epping.
Yeah.
Right. And I was living there and I could never relax. I'd go there and I'd think something's wrong. You know, I could feel these symptoms. I call them symptoms, like the tightness in my skull and everything. And at that time I was going out with, remember Crazy Caroline? I was going with her and she found you out and she said, oh, I've got this person in my
belly. That's how we met.
That's correct. So you came and did a clearing and that was fine. I mean, I ended up moving out of there anyway and then selling it eventually. And so that was my very first instance of being sensitive to an environment. But prior to that, because I've practiced homeopathy for many years and it got to the stage where I couldn't handle the remedies, even if I made them for someone else, because I'd get that sort of reaction. I was reacting to the energy of the remedy. So what I started to do was to get the receptionists to make the remedies and give them to the patients so I wouldn't be anywhere near them and send them out to patients via mail. So that was a way of me avoiding that reaction, which would happen. It was happening pretty much every day because I was constantly making the remedies, getting this reaction. So that first started probably in about 1984, maybe, 3, 4? Yeah, that I first noticed that I'm getting a reaction to these homeopathic remedies because I'm making them day in, and I think,
energetic remedies, yeah.
They are, absolutely.
You're picking up. That's how you've always been so ultra, ultra sensitive.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, well, I'll avoid doing that, which I still do to this day. But then the sensitivity to a particular place started with that apartment in Epping. And that's when I first noticed, okay, I'm getting this just from this place. So, and there's been places since then that I've gone into and thought, oh, I got a bad feeling here. I got to get out of here. And whenever I've bought somewhere, I've always got you to come and do a clearing because.
And then things settled for you.
Oh, like I'm here now in Thornleigh. You cleared this place.
A long time ago.
Almost five years. It's great. It feels.
Yeah, I can feel the vibe behind you. Yeah, it feels
totally
nice.
My home. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you did my place in Manly as well.
Yeah, that's right. Because you've moved around a bit, but I remember.
Well,
I only
lived in there very briefly, but I rented it out, and now then my son lived there, and then he's moved to Perth, and now it's just rented out to a couple, and they've emailed me and said, we love living this place. It's got a really great feel to it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I cleared it for you.
And the one in the old wooden weatherboard place, you did that too. It was on the corner.
Where was that?
In Beecroft, on the corner of Beecroft Road.
Yes, yes.
And
And that was really heavy too. You were sharing with somebody.
No, I wasn't. I was sharing with my daughter, but an old lady had lived there and she had died there.
She was I forget. I do so many clips. That's the thing. It's about transforming the energy, and at least you have some peace when you go home. But yes.
So when we moved to this new office back in February, I didn't think anything of it. But after a while, I thought, it's not heavy. It's just I feel uncomfortable. And when I go home, it lifts. But then I've got to go back the next day and work again. So that was happening a bit before we went to Vietnam. But Vietnam really, you know.
Knocked you for a nine. So.
Totally.
Continue. So then you came home from Vietnam and you felt.
And I thought, went back into work.
Something was attached to you.
I thought, I called you and you cleared that. And that's fine.
I cleared it distantly, because I felt like it couldn't wait. And it was like this dark thing. You know, it really was the weirdest thing that I cleared from you. You know when you see those, you know, in cartoons where there's like a ghost and they've got like something, a figure, like almost with a sheet thrown over it?
Oh, yes.
Well, this was like the weirdest thing. It had like this little head. It was all black and it had like little hands, but it was growling at me.
Oh, really?
And it was attached to along your spine.
Okay.
Did you have backache?
Oh, it was killing me. It was so bad.
And honestly, we never even spoke about the clearing the details until now. It was like it was attached along your spine, this black, really dark, ugly, weird-looking thing. It had no shape. It was like it was a sheet with two little hands.
It's funny, I was in the tiger cages.
It was like this yucky thing,
When I was in the tiger cages, the first thing I felt was my back. Just absolutely seized.
No, it had attached. It had attached itself, I think, into your base chakra and then along the rest of your spine. And it was like it was kind of stuck here at the back of your scalp. And it was just drawing on your energy. But I also wondered if you were having some weird thoughts, because it was like trying to project into your mind.
Okay.
Do you remember if you had any unusual? You may not have, but
I felt out of sorts because I was feeling so uncomfortable. But whether they were weird or not, I can't remember actually.
Yeah,
it was all, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I certainly felt overwhelmed by what I was seeing. And
I had to almost like peel it off your. I obviously had to put a lot of protection around you and me.
Yeah.
But then it was like I had to almost like peel it as I went up along your spine, like peel it off, like sticky tape somehow.
Okay.
And then it's like with the light, it just kind of disintegrated and obviously vanished.
Right.
And I just felt like, so then I shut you down, put protection. And the funny thing, James, is that I didn't tell Patrick that I did that. Because I've known Patrick for so long, and I knew when he said he'd been in Vietnam, I had a vibe and there was something.
Yeah.
And I'd booked him in, and it wasn't kind of, there was going to be a bit of a wait for him to see me. So it was like I'm meditating because I've known Patrick for so long. And my guides went like, we need to clear him now. He can't wait for that day. So I said, let's do it. And literally the next day, was it the next day?
Yeah, next day,
Patrick's like, did you clear me? Because it's gone. And I'm like, I actually have.
Yeah. Oh, I was actually sitting
there. You felt it, but that's how sensitive.
And I suddenly felt this sense of warmth.
Yeah.
And like a feeling of everything releasing and relaxing, my back pain disappearing, my solar plexus releasing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's gone.
Okay. I'm so glad. I wasn't going to make you wait weeks with all that horrible stuff attached to you. But it was just a really ugly, very dark being that I feel was obviously, I feel you bought it from Vietnam because
that's where it happened.
Yeah, it had all this energy of, it was like it was looshing off all the energy of torture that had happened there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I reckon that there's like a lot of them there, and they probably
Say the place is full of it.
Full of demons and dark entities that kind of attach to people, tourists that go there, you know, that don't know and don't realize, and probably go home going, oh gosh, I've got this backache, I don't feel well, my energies. That's why I always say to people, you know, places like that, you're best to avoid.
Well, if I know,
unless you're ready to get a good clearing as soon as you get home. Well,
if I had known that's what I was going to encounter, I would have said, no, I'm not going. But I had no idea.
You really, Patrick.
Mm. So, Pat, I've got a question for you. So I was reading something recently about, again, I don't know where the source of this story comes from, so don't attack me if you're watching this, people, and are asking me to cite my sources. But I did read this story that in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, the US soldiers were given a very early version of like infrared goggles. Right. And they were freaked out because they could see these beings, like these demonic beings with the infrared goggles that were obviously drawn to all the murder and killing and all the stuff that was going on. And they were just like, so I don't, talking about Vietnam and all this stuff, do demonic entities go to places like that? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Because they need a certain amount of energy that they need to absorb on a daily basis for, it's like their food, their fuel, if you like. So they will always enter into these environments. Plus, where you've got all these poor people that were suffering and tortured, and you know, obviously the energy in that place, the frequency gets lower and lower, and it becomes this environment that can contain all these dark demons that it really becomes this dark, you know, ludicrous kind of horrible space where they all come together and they just feast off all the energy of the suffering, you know, they just loosh off all that suffering. And then, you know, I think they will also target people that, like someone like Patrick, who is full of light. I mean, you know, he heals people on a daily basis. He's a beautiful osteopath. So there's a lovely healing energy with Patrick also. So, you know, that he'd be a lovely battery for them, if you like. Yeah, so they would have kind of saw him coming with all that beautiful healing light and thought, wow, I'm going to go for this. And attached itself thinking, I'm going to feast off. So had we not removed that, you would have eventually become more and more tired, eventually perhaps very, very sick.
Absolutely, no question.
You won't have energy to go to work. You don't have energy to get up in the morning. I've seen it with people. It can knock you for a nine. But people have come to me where they felt like they were dying because they'd had this entity attached to them for so long.
Yeah, right.
And then once you release it, I mean, it's immediately they feel better, but they sort of go over the next few weeks, their energy comes back. But that was what would have happened to you. But it really was just, it didn't want to shift, hey? So it's like I took
We'll be back after this quick break. Hello everyone, James and Katarina from the Australian Ghost Whisperer here. Just letting you know that we are now doing house and business clearings. We've been having a lot of inquiries, so I thought we would let you know. If you don't know what that is, Katarina, please explain.
Yeah, so a house or business may be haunted or have stagnant negative energy from previous owners. Maybe someone's put the evil eye on you, or you're dealing with psychic attacks, curses, or demonic interference, which may cause physical and spiritual illness to you and your family members. I'd like to also let you know that I've written two books on the paranormal and am highly experienced in the process of cleansing and clearing these disturbing interferences and turn your place into a loving, light-filled sanctuary.
Katarina is also available for healings and exorcisms if that is something you may need. And if you'd like to read some testimonials from Katarina's satisfied clients, you can do so at her website, which is katarinalegato.com.au. We also did a video recently where we cleared a house of spirits and we have a response from the very happy owner. We'll put that in the comments below so you can see a link to that. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so via email, which is australianghostwhisperer@gmail.com, or you can give us a call on 0404 258 949. And we are based in Sydney, but we're also happy to travel interstate, and we are absolutely happy to help.
Happy to help, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
So yeah, these environments tend to become like a real zone for all these dark entities, because wherever there's a great deal of sorrow and grief and torture and fear, like all of that energy is still resonating in the atmosphere.
Yeah, true.
And it's like bringing in these entities. It's like they can feel, they can sense all the torture energy in the atmosphere, and so they're drawn to it. That's the type of environment they want. You know, they're not going to go to an environment that's peaceful and calm and beautiful, full of light. They need these types of environments, so they make everything even more intensive and more horrific.
So being sensitive, Patrick, have you found that a lot in your life where you have attracted, you know, entities or spirits that are either going to attach themselves to you or enter your home? Is it a common occurrence for you?
Well, these days much less, which is why when we went to Vietnam, I had no idea, because it's been quite a while since I've had anything like that happen. But in the past, when I've moved into a house, I've generally got Katarina to clear it, because I've had that experience before, and this one was quite strong. I've had others in the past that were stronger, going way back. I remember, this is probably back in the early 90s. I was doing a psychic development course, and there was a woman there who was a therapist. And she said, you're an osteopath. I went, yeah. She said, well, do you want to swap some treatments? I went, sure. Okay. So I treated her, and then she treated me. And during what she did, I don't think she did it intentionally, but she, I think, somehow opened me up in some way that something came in and I was fucked.
Yeah, that's a transference of energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think something was attached to her.
Okay.
So when she did her treatment on you, because obviously you're having a treatment, you're relaxed, you're open, you're receptive. So you were open to receiving her treatment and everything else that came along with her.
Yeah. It took me a long time to get rid of that. Yeah, a long time.
And she probably felt better because she'd released was.
Yeah. So I end up going to someone I knew who was, I suppose, spiritual, but also a homeopath, and was aware of those sort of things. And I said to him, look, this is what happened to me. And this was about 4 or 5 years later. I'd been suffering with this for about four or five years. And he said, she has planted a succubus. I went, what the hell's that? He goes, this is what it is. And so he started doing some work with me. And it took a while. It took a good few months before I felt,
Yeah, God, because you had it for so long.
Yeah. And that was my very first experience of something of that nature. So whenever I've encountered anything like that, and if you, since then, I go, okay, I know what this is. And, you know, I know to get onto it, to deal with it. But it's it is rare these days. But as I say, in Vietnam, it just totally took me by surprise.
Yeah, but that's a that's an incredible place that you went to. Like, gosh, that's
horrible.
Horrible. Like, skulls and
gruesome.
You had it all happening there.
Yeah.
I could just feel and sense the darkness as you were talking about it.
Yeah.
You really see places like that should be really, you know, those skulls somehow buried and the place just cleansed and blessed. And that's what it needs, all the monks to go there, pray, chant, and, you know, put everything to rest. And, within those environments, there's probably a lot of lost souls in there that are still reliving, you know, their torture and their death over and over again.
I agree, yeah.
Because, it's full of lost souls, guarantee. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best thing that could happen there, rather than making it, you know, like a, you know, an adventurous kind of, you know, place to go and look at the torture and energy of the past, which is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm so not into all these sort of, you know, ghost tours and all of that.
Me neither.
You know, I don't like them because they're not healthy. See, environments like that, all of that should be buried, put to rest, and get a whole lot of monks coming in, blessing, chanting, praying, and let the souls go. You know, that would help all the trapped souls to go,
to return to God. At the killing fields themselves, which was actually an old Chinese cemetery, the atmosphere there was so heavy. And all the trees looked like they were half dead.
Yeah, because their
grass,
life force.
The grass was,
trees have a life force. So their life force.
The place was just dense.
How sad. Yeah, really dead. Yeah, see those poor trees, the grass, all their life forces being eaten up by all the demonic entities and the lost souls and the.
Yeah, it's a shame.
No, I'm sure you won't be going back there again. Hey.
I might go back to Vietnam at all. I said to the guys, I'm done with
really?
It. It's off the bucket list. I don't want to go there again.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Maybe don't go anywhere that's called a genocide museum as well. Maybe.
Well, that's a good call. Absolutely. That says it all, doesn't it?
It does.
Are you going to go and see the, what's that Egyptian? There's an Egyptian thing.
Oh, the pharaohs.
The pharaohs. Yeah. You're going to go to that?
Well, it's interesting. My partner and myself, we were going to go to Canberra this weekend, but
it's at the museum in Sydney though.
Oh yeah, but it's also in Canberra.
Okay.
And my friend's wife got COVID. This was Monday of last week, and he rings me and says, "Oh, Annie's got COVID." I said, "Well, see how she feels by Thursday. You know, might be all over by then." Get a call Thursday. No, still very sick. I went, "That's fine. I had other stuff to do. Won't go."
Not meant to.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So
no, look, I do want to go and see that, but again, I think we'd need the protection. Maybe we can have a little group and all go together.
Yeah,
like to see that. Yeah, I would. Yeah, but yeah, I'm sort of the energy there too. But yeah, it's just so tragic that these places, you know, still exist where they could be put to peace and rest.
Yeah, well, I think that the place in Phnom Penh, which was the genocide museum, I reckon just bulldoze it, you know.
Yeah,
it's just it's horrible. Yeah
they all need a blessing, a clearing, and
totally.
Yeah, just putting it all to peace and rest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the people that want to go there and see that, and they have, you know, guides taking you around, it sort of, I think it reinforces it because it's bringing all
stuff.
Well,
it does. Yeah, of course it does. You are reinforcing that energy over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And the vibe in the place was horrible.
Funny you should mention the pharaohs and Egyptians, Kat. It's just made me remember I spoke to someone once who'd been to Egypt, and they'd been in one of the famous pyramids there. And she said that at a certain point, I can't remember precisely what she said, but she said at a certain point, she just felt this really strong energy of something wanted them to get out. Like, you are not welcome here, get out. Whether she heard it say get out or she felt it, but she was just like, she got to a point where she's like, we're not welcome here, we have to leave, we have to leave, we have to get out. And I mean, it's the same.
You're absolutely entering another dimension when you go into places like that, you know? And that's what happened to you, Patrick. You entered into another dimension, a really low dimension. Same with the pyramids, James. You're just walking into another dimension.
I mean, how I feel it is, I just feel it as a heaviness. Like, it's almost like you hit cut with a knife. It's very dense. Dense and heavy.
That's how I feel when I got like somewhere like that. Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, strike that one off the holiday list. And
Totally. In fact, don't ride a motorbike in Vietnam either. Take your life in your hands every 5 seconds.
You end up in your own tomb.
You've always had so many adventures. You've had the most. I've got to, like, Patrick, your shenanigans have been another level. every time Patrick.
I thought I was getting old and boring.
No, you're starting up again. But honestly, every time you'd make an appointment, I mean, you've been quiet. We've been good for a few years now. But I would look forward to, because it'd be endless stories and shenanigans with Patrick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell you what, my friends, they rip me all. I've got to tell you a story. Okay.
Tell us.
This is going back quite a long time ago. And I was with Crazy Caroline. And I said, right, I've broken up with her. Right, it's done. And I said, look, just to prove it, I said, there's six of these guys, right? I said, if I get back with her, I'll buy each of you a bottle of Verve. Right, and Verve's about $85 a bottle.
I know.
About a month later, I turn up with a 6-pack of Verve. I go, sorry, guys. They go, we love you. I go, yeah, but my bank balance doesn't. It wasn't long after that I finally did cut the cord, but yeah, 6 bottles of Verve. I thought that'd be enough incentive for me not to go back.
Well, whilst you're there, like, we'd like to have you back to talk about your love life, because it is hilarious. He did get better as the years progressed, but my gosh, when I first met Patrick and he was telling me about his role, I couldn't stop laughing. I'd like, why do you do this to yourself?
Yeah, I asked myself the same question.
Yeah.
No, these days it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Now he's in a good space now. Oh gosh. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, for sharing your story with us.
And let's hope that's the end of succubuses and other evil things attaching themselves to you. That sounds like.
Oh, I'd say so. Well, if I do get that sort of stuff, I know what to do. I just go and see Katarina.
It's called vacuum cleaner for demons.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
The demon vacuum cleaner.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you,
Kat. Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much, Patrick. It's been such an honor to have you on.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
To gain access to private spiritual development classes, guided meditations, and live Q&As with Katarina, please visit www.patreon, that's patreon.com/ The Australian Ghost Whisperer.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.